Father, we are going to need your help this morning. Very simply because of the fact that we know that the word says that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we know, God, in ourselves, our hearts are prone to wickedness and are prone to slander. And so, God, in what we're about to discuss this morning in James, I know that there is nothing that we're going to be able to do. Everyone in this room, that their hearts would be softened to learn how it is that we need to use our tongues for the mission of the gospel and to not use them for slander and to make our religion that's outward and our mission worthless, which is what James is about to tell us that does. Would you be with me, please, God, that I would be able to speak with clarity? God, get me out of the way. I'm an imperfect vessel trying to communicate a perfect message, and that just usually just does not go well unless you're here. So help me. Help these people here. God, just be with us. We love you. In Jesus' name. Well, that's a difficult truth because I know that that video probably exposes so much of probably what was going on this morning before we got here. And so don't worry, though. I think James is going to help us try and redeem what it is that may have happened on the way over. If you guys want to open up to James chapter 1, we're just going to go with one verse this morning, just continuing on with the series. We're going to be reading James chapter 1, verse 26. It says this: "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." Let me read it again. It's real quick. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, the person's religion is worthless. It's funny because whenever I was first examining kind of what it was I think James was trying to tell me, I was very confused because if you guys were here last week, if you weren't, you need to listen to that sermon that Brandon preached last week. It was one of the best sermons I've ever heard. I'm not kidding. Y'all need to listen to it because what James is telling us in the four verses before 126 is he's telling us again in verse 22, just going to jump down. He says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And so Brandon talked about how James is trying to communicate to us that there is an element of which is if you hear the word, if you're learning about Christ, if you're learning about his mission, but you're not acting out on what it is that you're learning, you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself in thinking that you're religious. You're deceiving yourself in thinking that you're righteous, because if you're not acting out on the things you're hearing, your religion is worthless and you're deceiving yourself, right? And so I was very, convicted by that message and really just, I took it in and was trying to meditate on it this week. But once again, I'm jumping down. I'm like, all right, James, you just told us already how it is that we're deceiving ourselves or how we can deceive ourselves. Why do you keep on knocking on this deceit thing? What's your deal with us deceiving ourselves and giving us every little way that we can deceive ourselves into thinking we're something we're not? What's your deal? What I think he's trying to do here, and if we just want to read it again, James 1:26, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, that this person's religion is worthless." And so we have in 22 through 25, we have be a doer of the word, not a hearer. And if you don't do what it is you're hearing, you're deceiving yourself. And so almost instinctively, James understands, okay, the religious people, probably what they're going to do is they're going to read that and be like, oh yeah, I'll be a doer of the word. I'll go visit orphans. I'll go do what I need to do. I'll be religious. That's no problem. But what he's saying, you don't need to be just a doer only. You have to use your words to propel that mission forward. If you're not using your tongue to do the things that you, let me give you an example, okay? You need to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Yesterday, I was in the Walmart parking lot and I was pulling out, and you guys have seen them. It's the disabled veteran, need food, help please. I mean, you've seen them. We've all been there. And so you see these guys and you're pulling out, and all of a sudden, you're, oh, I need to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. I need to help this guy. And so all of a sudden, you're like, here's $20. God bless you. It's awkward, right? I mean, but all of a sudden what you've done, and you don't even know it, is you've given a guy a charity without expressing out of your mouth what it is, the reason that you're doing what you're doing. And so what he's saying, if you are a person that is doing, if you're acting out on what it is you're hearing, but you're not using the words that need to be used to give life-giving truth to people, your religion and what you're doing outwardly is worthless. And so that's what he's trying to communicate to us. And I think what we instinctively do whenever we see this verse 126, as we think, okay, I need to bridle my tongue. What is that? Was it? And I think I probably maybe threw you a curveball by showing you this video, because I think instinctively the way that we read into this is to think that what James is trying to say to us is saying, okay, if you want to say a nasty word to your wife, or you want to tell your boss that he can kiss it, or you want to do something like that, don't do it. Bridle your tongue. Just stop. Don't say that. It's going to get you in trouble. I think that's kind of like instinctively what it is that we think he's saying. He is not saying don't say the things that you want to say. That's not what he's saying. And that even that picture of a bridle, yeah, many of you probably don't know what that is. It's a bit that you put in a horse's mouth to steer it whichever way it needs to go, you see? And so what if we read into the text in such a way to where we say, okay, what James is trying to tell me here is I don't need to say the things that I want to say, the slanderous words I say against my wife, or the things I want to say to my boss or my kids or the people that are around me that tick me off, I don't need to say that stuff, so I'm going to bridle my tongue. I really have an insatiable desire to punch you in the throat. And I want to tell you that I have an insatiable desire to punch you in the throat, but I have bridled my tongue. I shall not say that. No, that's not what James is trying to say here. And let's take this a little bit further. He's talking about the horse analogy, right? The bridle is what goes in your mouth, right? So let's say for just a second, I'm having a hard time with this mic here, I'm sorry. Let's just say for a second you go to the Kentucky Derby, okay? You're at the Kentucky Derby, it's the most famous horse race in all of the world. People come, jets, private jets, million-dollar horses, all this stuff. And you walk around, and if you've ever seen a purebred racehorse, you'll know what I'm talking about. You're like, what is that bear doing here? What is the deal? Horse, what is that bear horse doing here? You know, it's like they're huge, they're powerful. You know instinctively that this thing has the ability to do some awesome things. Okay, so what's going to happen is if you think that what's happening here is James is just trying to tell you to not say the things you want to say, it's the equivalent of you saying and going to the Kentucky Derby that once the gates open, and all that horse's life, all it's been taught to do is as soon as that gate opens, you go. You go as fast as you can. Nobody marvels at the guy that sits there and is all like, oh, the gate's open and he's not moving. That's amazing. He pulled back on his reins so tight. That is the most amazing racehorse I've ever seen. No, that horse is going to get put down and that jockey is going to get fired. He's not going to have another job other than to be an Oompa Loompa. He's mini, right? He's not going to have a job, okay? And so what we need to understand is this is not James just trying to tell us that you just need to pull back on the reins. You just need to pull it back whenever you want to say something to your wife or whatever, or you want to nag your husband a little bit or whoever. Don't say that. Don't say that, because what's going to happen is you're going to pin up all the stuff and it's not going to get expressed. What he's trying to say here is he's trying to say, and you need to have an absolute control over your words, that as you propel yourself forward into the mission of God, that you use the words necessary to make sure that those religious acts that you're doing, going to visit orphans and widows like he's going to talk about the next verse next week, what you need to do is whenever you're in those instances, you need to be able to use your tongue in such a way to where that those acts that you do have power, because you have truth to propel them forward. You understand? And so I think, I don't know if y'all remember, most of you that are probably younger do. Probably the last decade or so, there's a saying that I know that a lot of people really found really intriguing, and they kind of held on to it. It was like, I think a youth camp deal where some guy somewhere, and I'm God bless his soul, he was way off on this whole deal, but he said, share the gospel always, use words if necessary. Y'all remember that? Remember that one? Not quite, bro. That's not what James is saying. I think James would probably say, share the gospel always, words are necessary. That's what he's saying. There has to be an ability that you have to take the truth of God, to use your tongue to propel it forward. And now, it may work itself out in such a way to where you do kind of pull back in the reins a little bit and not say some things that you want to say. I have me and some buddies of mine, we go to Hazelway Boys Home right outside of Tyler here a couple times a month, and we're out there. And I was out there this past week on a Tuesday, and I was talking to one of the workers and just asked him, how are things going? I was like, hey, man, how are you doing? What's going on with this Azaway thing? And he was kind of having a hard time with being there. It's a hard place to work. Let's just put it that way. And I was talking to him, and I said, dude, how's your few weeks been? He said, well, I've gotten my car vandalized 2 times by some of the boys here. This is not really where I think I want to be. This is hard. And I said, man, I'm so sorry. I said, has there been an opportunity for you to share the gospel with these kids? Because these kids need Jesus really bad. It's depravity at its absolute fullest potential almost. And so I said, have you gotten a chance to really impact some kids' life? And he said, yeah, whenever I got my car vandalized the second time, they obviously caught the kid and he was just acting out and they can't physically discipline. And so obviously they're just going to do what they want. But I said, so how did you handle that, man? That's tough. Did you get it paid for? He said, I walked up to that kid and I said, you know what? I said, what you deserve right now is you deserve to pay for it. You deserve to get sent back to juvie. You deserve a lot of different things. But you know what? I don't deserve grace, and I've been given it. That's what I'm going to give you right now. So I just want to let you know I forgive you. That's a bridled tongue. It's being able to harness the truth of God in such a way whenever you're out there on mission and you see things that are going on, you have the ability to speak life in whatever it is that comes your way. That's the bridled tongue. And so I think what it is that I have a hard time with, because I used to think this way also, is what I used to think was, okay, man, I'm just being too hard on these people. There's a lot of believers that are doing a lot of awesome things. You know what, Aaron? They're not good at evangelism. They're working on it. They're working on it. Just calm down. They're working on evangelism. They're kind of crafting their message and their evangelistic tools or whatever. And so they're doing just give them some time. What happens is whenever you act and whenever you do, and this in 126, whenever he talks about religious, if you think you're religious, what he's not talking about if you think you're a Christian or if you think you, what he's talking about is he's talking about outward displays of piety and service to other people. And so that could be going to Africa, it could be going to a boys' home, or it could be a lot of different things. He's talking about an outward action is what he's talking about. So he's saying, if you think that your outward actions and your outward actions of service to other people, no matter how selfless and humble they may seem, if they do not have undergirding them the truth of the gospel that you're telling everyone that's around you as you're doing these things, it's worthless. And what happens is whenever you have, and churches do this all the time, if you just go out into the city and you do a food bank or you do anything like that may seem on the outside to be a good thing, what you've done is it's Habitat for Humanity. It's the American Red Cross, which are great organizations. But I'm telling you, if people get built a house, but they don't know the gospel, that house is worthless. It's going to burn. But what James is saying here is saying, as you act, as you do the things, as you become doers of the word and not just hearers, what you need to understand is you need to have an ability as you go out and as you are doers of the word and as you work on that, as you are on mission, you have to be able to garner the message of the gospel in such a way to where it has power as you act. That's what he's saying. And so I'm not going to go long with you this morning. It's going to be a very short message, but I just want to talk very briefly about, okay, Aaron, that's great. I need to bridle my tongue and learn how to use it in constructive ways. How do I do that? Because we understand that in John, actually, in Luke chapter 6, Jesus says that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, I know what's in there, man. And I don't like it, and I need some help. So how is it that I'm going to bridle my tongue? So I have three things very, very briefly, and this is going to be probably the shortest message in the history of Living Acts Church. But, we're usually here for like 4 hours, so any message is pretty much here. But I'm just kidding, Brandon. I'm just messing with you, dude. I love your sermons, bro. I love them. So how to bridle your tongue, how to garner and use your tongue in such a way to where it has life-giving power to people as you're on mission and as you become doers of the word. Number one, let the word do the talking. The thing that we have to understand is as we're, and I think it's so interesting that I've been in the Walmart parking lot plenty of times, and I've been in instances where there have been people, and this is not a social justice spiel, but I'm just saying that there is times where I've been approached with people and pull out my wallet, give them a $20 bill, give them whatever it is that they say that they need, and say, man, I hope this blesses you, or I hope whatever. Without the message of the gospel, all that guy is going to walk away and say is, man, I just got 20 bucks from that awkward guy in the Civic. This is awesome. You guys, he's wait for him to come back. He's going to come. And instead of that, he's going to say, man, I've never seen a more compassionate person that really cares about my heart. And so whenever you're in that Walmart parking lot, the way this works itself out is let the word do the talking. know the word and know what Jesus says about specific situations in such a way where you're able to give life-giving truth to people whenever you're on mission. And so that works itself out. If I'm in the Walmart parking lot and there's a guy and he obviously has been dealt a tough hand, dude, here's $20. I just want to let you know that Jesus said, I want to help you, but he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I just want to let you know, man, that there's a God that loves you, and whatever your burdens are, he's already taken those from you. Or the girl that may have some shame in her past or some things like that, whenever she is needing some counsel, and you say, you know, all this shame, Isaiah 53 says that he bore our shame, and all those scars that you have, he's already bore those for you. Your sin, your issues, he took those on himself. You don't have to bear this anymore. This is not your burden to carry. You were never meant to carry this. And so that's a bridle tongue. That's being able to say, okay, in this, what is it that as I look out across the spectrum of humanity and as I interact with people, how is it that I'm going to use the truth of the message of the gospel and the truth contained in the scriptures to be able to speak truth in whatever situation I'm in? So let the word do the talking. Immerse yourself in this. Listen to some really good preaching. Learn how to garner your message for every situation. Number two, let the words of God take root in your heart. John Owen, Brandon gave me this quote after the first time I ever got to preach up here one morning, and he could kind of tell that I was trying really hard to like be really eloquent and impress everyone rather than letting the word of God that I was preaching take root in my heart. It's going to be honest, and that's exactly what happened. I was trying so hard to be like, I'm the cool speaker, hey, you know, and trying to just be cool and all that stuff. And he sat me down the next day and he wrote down a piece of paper, the word of God will never work with power coming out of you if it doesn't first work with power in you. If the word of God and the words that you're speaking to people, you can have all the truth in here all you want, but if those words, if they haven't taken root in such a way, whenever you speak them, people know you believe what you're saying, they're going to be like, dude, what is this guy doing? Jesus says to the Pharisees in John chapter 5, he says, you search the scriptures in vain because you think that in them you have life, but you refuse to come to me through whom the scriptures testify. Isn't it crazy that we, in that first verse or that first point that I made, let the word do the talking? Yeah, that's fine. But if you know the word, but it doesn't work with power in you in such a way to where there's nothing but power that comes out of your mouth whenever you speak the truths of God, it's going to fall on deaf ears. That word of God will never, ever, ever work with power coming out of you. Well, I say never, but it will never work with power coming out of you if it doesn't first work with power coming in you. It will never, people are never going to experience or see that there's power in what it is you're saying. So let the words of God take root in your heart. And number three, this is the most important point. Understand that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's Luke 6:45. See, that's really scary because whenever you look at this message in itself, it kind of makes you feel like, okay, I can control this. I can make myself kind of know the word well enough to where I can garner this message and I think I can do this. But what James is saying or what Luke is saying is that out of the mouth the heart speaks. And so what you need to understand, who changes hearts? So do you think that you're going to be able to? And even if you do. How, if you can garner your tongue on a Sunday morning, what's going to come out of your mouth most of the time in your everyday life is absolutely going to be what it is that's in your heart, always. You got to understand that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what we need to do is understanding that since we have a very explicit theological tradition that we adhere to here, that we know that God changes hearts. In all of our mind, there's nothing that you and I can do to change our hearts. We have to understand that before you get this bridled, before you get this control, before you garner this in such a way where you're able to speak power into people's lives, it all starts right here, and you can't do that. You can't do that yourself. And so how this should propel us into prayer, and it should, like Brandon said last week, whenever you're talking about deceit and trying to be obedient in this, there's always, 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 James is trying to say in this first chapter what is habitually true of us, if you didn't notice. The verse before, you are going to habitually see yourself, see who you are as you read the word. Like he says in verse 122, you're going to be a doer of the word. But as you try and be a doer, you are going to know that you need a savior really bad because you can't do it all the time. You're going to fall flat on your face and you're going to understand you need a savior. In the same way, as you try and garner your tongue and as you try and learn how to use your tongue in such a way to where it has life-giving power as you're on mission, you're gonna find out real quick, I need a savior to help me because I can't do this. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we have to understand that God's expiation of our sinful nature put on Jesus, and his imputed righteousness that he took off of Jesus and put on us is the only hope that we have to fulfill the calling in this message. Isaiah 53, he took it all, and he changes hearts. He impacts us. And so let's, like I told y'all, it's short, baby. Short and sweet, right? May actually get out of here on time for once. So, but let me pray for us real quick, and if you guys want to come back up and let's pray a little bit, because in that should propel you into a certain level of desperation, because you know I've seen what's in there. I've seen my heart. You have to have a savior that's going to change this for you. And so if let's pray real quick, and if these guys are going to lead us in some worship, and you guys, we got a little time, so if y'all want to throw it down for play a few songs, whatever. But let's pray real quick and ask God to help us, propel us into humble prayer that God will change our hearts and let that change our tongues. So let's pray for a little bit. God, I ask you that, like I said before, there is nothing that we're going to be able to do in ourselves to make this have life-giving power without you doing it first. God, the truth that out of the mouth the heart speaks, that is something that is frightening to me. And I know if we all know and have really examined ourselves in such a way to where we know what's in our hearts, that should frighten us. But God, we understand and we know that there's nothing that we can do in our hearts for ourselves to change this. We have to have you do it. And the Holy Spirit of God has to manifest himself in power in our hearts to change us, to give us your nature, to give us your righteousness before this is ever going to produce in us what we need it to produce. Father, help us. There's a lot of couples in here, there's a lot of people in here that just can't ever seem to speak a life-giving word in any situation, God. The poison that seems to come out of the mouth, that we've gotten immune to the taste of it. So God, let us realize how bitter it is. Let us realize it's destructive. And let us understand that, like you say in James 3, out of the same mouth that comes curses could also come blessings and life-giving truth. This shouldn't be so. Father, just help us, be with us this morning. Need your help. Love you, God. Amen.